a production of South Dakota Public.
Judiciary to order and ask our secretary to please take the roll.
Representative Ingalls?
Here.
Feinstein?
Here.
Gibson?
Here.
Gosch?
Here.
Hamel?
Here.
Hoffman?
Here.
Killer?
Here.
Lust?
Here.
Mosier?
Here.
Schleckaway?
Here.
Turbeville?
Here.
Hunt?
Here.
Cutler?
Here.
Madam Chair, 13 of 13 are present.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We do have a quorum. And welcome once again, committee, to our last meeting of House Judiciary for this year. Welcome, everyone, and welcome to our Internet listeners. Chair would move approval of the minutes.
So
moved by second. Turbeville, seconded by Hoffman. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Minutes are so approved. Our pages this morning are Tiffany Ortman from Canastota. It's Tiffany.
Right here.
Hi, Tiffany. We just introduced you. Thanks for helping us this morning. And Reba Jangling from Parker. Jungling. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Jungling. Okay. And thank you both for being with us and helping us this morning. Well, committee, we're down to the wire. We have three bills left, and I think we could have taken care of these bills had we not yielded our committee time to the Commerce Committee last week. So thank you for your graciousness in extending your workload, our workload, for today. With that, we are going to open for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 125. Senate Bill 125, which is an act to revise certain provisions relating to violations associated with the statewide one-call notification system.
My name is Margot Northrup. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems. I'm here today to ask your support of Senate Bill 125, which is a bill that revises the one-call provisions and the time frame in which you can bring a complaint. The South Dakota one-call system is a mandatory statewide notification system that was established by the South Dakota statutes to inform all South Dakota underground facility operators of intended or planned excavation. SDCL 497A and the corresponding administrative rules sets out the duties and obligations that excavators and utilities must follow before an excavation takes place. In the event of a violation of one of these duties or obligations, a complaint can be filed before the South Dakota One Call Board. When a complaint is filed, it goes in front of a committee. They just do a probable cause determination and determine whether or not a violation has occurred. In the event of a violation, they're able to give administrative fines if they believe it's appropriate. Under the one-call framework, there's currently two separate statute of limitations. The first one sets up any violation or a complaint of any violation can be brought within 90 days of the alleged violation, unless that is with SDCL 497A12. In that situation, 497A12 is where a cut has actually occurred. There's a duty and an obligation to call the utility provider, and there's also a duty not to cover up or conceal that cut. In that case, it's within 1 year of discovery of the allegation. What we're trying to amend is 497A21, which is just the regular complaint. What our members have expressed concern is that in certain situations, they're not able to discover that a violation has actually occurred in 90 days. One example would be there's a duty to call one call every single time that you have to do an excavation. Sometimes that does not occur. If it happens in the fall, the ground could be covered by snow, and they're not able to discover a violation. And so what we're requesting is 90 days from the discovery of that violation. So the way that works is that if something happens on January 1st and it's not discovered until the middle of June, you'd have 90 days from that date to bring a complaint. If it was happened on January 1st and wasn't discovered till November 1st, you'd only have 60 days to bring it. Based on some discussions and some concerns that we had on the Senate side, we did cap that to 1 year. So in no event are you able to bring a complaint in more than 1 year. We believe that Senate Bill 125 is consistent with the purpose and the goals of the One Call Board, which is for education and to deter violations of the One Call statutes. We've worked with the One Call Board, and they are supportive of this legislation. I don't believe that anyone is here to testify, but they did on the Senate side, and we're supportive of this, and I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 125. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? If not, we'll close to proponent. Opponent testimony, open to questions of the committee or action on Senate Bill 125. Are there any questions? If not,
Madam Chair.
Representative Hoffman.
I move do pass.
Second.
Move do pass by Hoffman, seconded by Gibson. Remarks, Representative Hoffman.
I do have a few. We've used one call numerous times on the ranch when we've put holes in, dug dugouts, done some basement work. And it's a scary thing when you get permission to put a post hole in a corner and you go down and you're pulling up what looks like brand new telephone wires. And it was very nice that I made a call and I said, hey, you guys approved this. And there weren't supposed to be any wires here. Well, it was a wire that they discontinued and wasn't on their file anymore. So, but anyway, there are times that you are going to do some things. And I think the 90 days after the location of the infraction of breaking a line, doing some damage to a line, it's a good thing. It's a good bill. I think we should vote for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the do pass motion for Senate Bill 125? If not, the Secretary will please call the roll. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no.
Representative Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hamel?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosher?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Turbeville?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Madam Chair, 13 ayes.
And Senate Bill 125 goes to the floor. Do pass. Representative Schleckaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make a motion for consent.
Second. Move consent by Schleckaway, seconded by Mosher. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Thank you, committee. Senate Bill 125 will go to the consent calendar. I see we have some visitors with us today, with committee members, and I believe Representative Mosher has an announcement for us.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mosher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, members of the committee and members of the audience, for the last 4 years, I've had the pleasure of introducing young Miss Ginny Cannenberg as my girlfriend. And I'm happy to announce for the first time today that I get to introduce her as my fiance.
Whoa. Yay! Welcome and congratulations to you both.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hoffman.
Personal privilege.
Personal privilege granted.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to give my congratulations to the future Mrs. Moser. And I couldn't find a better guy to get married to sitting anywhere up here besides the guy to my left, but he's already taken. I'd like to introduce to all of you today my my two daughters and one of my daughter's friends. Anyway, on the right side is Elizabeth. And she's a sophomore at USD. On the left side is Alexandra, and she's a junior at SDSU. And in the middle is John Bisson from Sturgis. And all three of them swim Division I collegiate in the programs in their respective colleges. Thank you.
Well, welcome to you, and thank you for being with us this morning. Any other personal privileges of the committee? Nobody's getting married? Nobody else getting married or swimming D1? Okay, well, as you can tell, this is it's unusual for us to take a bill and depart from our calendar, but I was hoping that in the meantime, Senator Teason might slip in the door. Since he hasn't, I'm going to go ahead and pass the gavel to our vice chair and go ahead with the pitch for the remaining bills.
At this time, we will take proponents on Senate Bill 148. 148.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Joni Cutler, State Representative, District 14, Sioux Falls. Senate Bill 148 simply adds some language so that in this ever-changing world of titles in licensure for blood draws, we make sure that all the proper people who are licensed or certified can do the blood draws. That's simply what it does, and I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cutler. Further proponents on 148.
Good morning. Paul Bichon on behalf of the State Attorneys Association. This issue was brought up by one of our members, the Turner County State Attorney Tiffany Hookey, when she had to litigate this issue as to what an expanded role licensed practical nurse was. And that was a term that she learned was an antiquated term, not used anymore, but the statute simply did not keep up with the administrative rule. So this was a matter she ended up litigating. She was successful in obtaining and using the blood sample, but just brought to our attention the fact that we needed to look at the statute, update it, strike the expanded role, but then still permit those other people who may have authority pursuant to licensure, training, or certificates to take blood samples. The two statutes you see in front of you, the first one, 32-12A-45, that involves commercial vehicles and blood draws. The second statute, 32-23-14, is your classic DUI statute. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll remain here for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents on Senate Bill 148.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Brittany Novotny. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Nurses Association, and we, too, support removal of this outdated language. We do know that the board has actually been subpoenaed to testify a couple of times because of this language, so certainly removal will help them do their job a little bit better. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents on Senate Bill 148? Further proponents? Seeing none, we'll move to opponents. Are there any opponents on Senate Bill 148? Any opponents on Senate Bill 148? Seeing no opponents, Representative Cutler, maybe we'll just waive the rebuttal, if that's all right with you. And we'll move to committee discussion questions on Senate Bill 148. Representative Noem. I mean, Hamill. Noel Hamill. How about
thank
the
you,
guy
Mr. Chairman.
Over
the,
there on my right?
The resemblance escapes me, although she is young. I have a question, I guess, for Ms. Novotny. Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, please.
Since the question was raised on this antiquated term, I have to ask you, what is an expanded role licensed practical nurse? How is that different from an LPN?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, actually, as I understand it, an expanded role LPN was essentially that term was taken out of there because currently since 2001, I believe, the program of an LPN includes the educational component to draw blood. So all LPNs are now qualified because of their education to draw the blood. So that term was no longer needed.
Good question. Thank you. Any other questions by members of the committee? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Mr. Bichon.
Go ahead and state your question.
Thank you. And on line 7, or other person authorized pursuant to certification, license, or training, give me some examples of other persons authorized, please.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Representative Gitson, I would classify that as a catch-all. Let me give you the situation. Let's say, for example, one of these current terms that are listed in there for some reason changes, like we had with expanded role licensed practical nurse. This would be that catch-all phrase that would put someone in there. As I sit here, I don't know who else is there. I think we've got them covered. But by having this language in there, that would make certain that we have other people covered. And how you would have to present this would be essentially through a hearing with the judge. The judge would have to say, all right, I approve of this person as a witness based on this other training, based on this certificate or license. So truly it's the catch-all. So if something gets changed in the statute or through rules down the road, we can fit it in under this. That's the reason. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Follow-up of any sort? Any other questions by members of the committee?
We've got one statement, sir.
Representative Hoffman.
I have to say this because I did have a person in my district actually call me last year who was very upset with this law that they could actually, he didn't want to sign his driver's license, he didn't want to sign it because he didn't think anyone should have the right to force him to give blood. So I called Secretary Dravland, an old friend, Tom Dravland. I said, Tom, what do I tell this guy? He says, well, here's the difference. He said, you can get a license to do a lot of things, and you can get a license to buy things, sell things, but it's a privilege to drive in the state of South Dakota, and we grant you that privilege, the law enforcement and the Department of Transportation. So when you sign your driver's license, you are accepting the rules of engagement that we have put into law, which states that
We can hold you down, take your blood to find out what's in your system at any time we deem necessary to prove that you're either an unsafe driver or a safe driver. And he went on with a couple things. And I told this gentleman that. And anyway, he was actually kind of satisfied. Okay, well, I guess then if I don't like it, I don't drive. And I said, well, I don't think any other state's going to let you get away with it. But it ended there. So that's the only story I have pertaining with this. I've never had to blow in a breathalyzer yet, and I don't really look forward to ever having to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hoffman. Any other questions? If not, any other action by the committee on Senate Bill 148? Representative Turberville.
Mr. Chairman, I would move due pass on Senate Bill 148.
We have a motion by Representative Turberville of due pass. We have a second by Representative Gibson. Discussion on that motion. Representative Turberville.
No, it just makes common sense. I hope I'm never the object of any of these people that are listed here, but if they are, I would want them to at least have some training. So I would urge the committee to follow the due pass recommendation.
Further discussion on the due pass motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the due pass motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hamill? Hoffman?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Turberville?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 13 ayes.
Senate Bill 148 will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Move consent.
Yes. Representative Schleckaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Senate Bill 148 as a consent calendar.
Is there, it's moved to consent, has been seconded. Anyone on the committee desire not to have it on the consent calendar? Seeing none, it'll be on the consent calendar. We'll now move to Senate Bill 149. Representative Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I just was passed a note that Senator Teason is yet delayed, so I'm going to go ahead with Senate Bill 149. Again, I'm Joni Cutler, State Representative, District 14, Sioux Falls. Senate Bill 149 simply adds vehicular battery or vehicular homicide to the counting statute that we have for DUIs. Both of these crimes involve having a DUI as one of the elements. Being under the influence is one of the elements of both of these crimes. And so for purposes of how we look back in the 10-year look-back period, we simply want to make sure that we cover those instances of vehicular battery or vehicular homicide. And that's what the bill does. I'll stand aside for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cutler. Further proponents on Senate Bill 149.
Good morning. Paul Bichon, State Attorneys Association. This was another bill that was brought to us by one of our members, and it was approved by our board to support it. I don't know that I can really add much from what Representative Cutler says. She just hit it right on the head. This would allow for the calculation of prior offenses. Those offenses, it would be a vehicular homicide or battery. As an underlying element, you must commit a DUI offense to commit a battery or homicide. A homicide, the additional elements would be a death of another individual. Battery, the other element would be a DUI plus a serious bodily injury. So this makes sense. It made sense to our organization, and we would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bichon. Further proponents on Senate Bill 149? Proponents. Seeing none, we'll go to opponents. Are there any opponents on Senate Bill 149? Any opponents? Again, Representative Cutler, seeing no one, do you want a rebuttal of any sort? All right. And we'll close the hearing to the taking of public testimony and move to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 149. Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Bichon. Has this issue come up in court? Has it been litigated? What's the need for it? Are these not included now?
Mr. Bichon.
Thank you. Representative Gosch, they are not included now, and this issue has come up. There have been individuals who have been convicted of either one of these offenses, a battery or vehicular homicide, and they'll go out, and sometimes it'll be when they're on probation or parole, and they'll actually commit another DUI offense. And you don't get to use then this underlying battery or vehicular homicide to enhance that DUI. So they could have a couple DUIs on, or one DUI on the record, have a vehicular homicide. After they commit the homicide, go commit another DUI. That's only a second offense. This would allow you to utilize the other vehicular homicide or battery as a DUI for calculation purposes. So yes, this has come up. It's come up in multiple counties where we see that we can't use this for enhancement. So it's come up, sir.
Follow-up, Representative? Any other questions by members of the committee? Seeing none, we'll close the committee hearing to the questions and move to committee discussion action. Representative Ingalls.
Move do pass.
We have a motion by Representative Ingalls of do pass on Senate Bill 149, seconded by Representative Gibson. Discussion on that do pass motion, Representative Ingalls.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this bill only makes sense to me. A lot of times where you have a vehicular battery or vehicular homicide, the prosecutor will charge out both that charge and DUI, and oftentimes a DUI is bargained away in plea bargaining and they keep the more serious charge. But it really goes without saying that the person should still be classified as having a DUI if they get a subsequent offense. It just makes sense to me.
Further discussion on the do pass motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the do pass motion on Senate Bill 149 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hamel.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Mosier.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 13 ayes.
Senate Bill 149 will go to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that Senate Bill 149 be placed on the consent calendar.
Second. Moved and seconded to be placed on the consent calendar. Is there any objection by any member? Objected by Representative Feinstein, so it will not go on the consent calendar. At this time, I'll turn the gavel back over to Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your work here this morning, committee members. With that, we have completed our calendar. The one item we have left is suggestions of for summer studies, and so the chair would open to proposals for summer studies, if there are any recommendations from this committee. Representative Lust wants to study the sex offender registry again, but I'm going to rule him out of order on that one.
Please.
Representative Gosch wants to know why.
Yeah.
Well, with that, we will close then if there are no suggestions from this committee for summer studies. And this being our final committee meeting and the final House Judiciary Committee meeting for me, as your chair, I want to thank each and every one of you. Madam Secretary, Ruben, all of you as committee members, this has been truly a high point in my professional career to serve with you here. I want to commend you for the way that you handle the issues before you, the attention that you give to the witnesses who come before you. I can't think of a committee that does a better job than this committee in taking your work, being prepared when you walk in the door, and sometimes doing the difficult thing. I also want to commend you for working in a nonpartisan manner. This committee really isn't a place for partisan politics. We have state affairs for that. And I think we all, anybody who's served on state affairs knows what I'm talking about. I really believe that the best policies come out of all of you using your expertise, your common sense, and a spirit of working together for the things that are right for people in our state. And I guess I would only leave you with my desire that you would continue your fine work here. And I hope to be back before you again. But in the meantime, I know that you will carry on, and your next chair will lead you. We're all here just occupying these seats for a short period of time, and it's good to be able to get up out of the chair and know that you did your best. So I thank you for your fine efforts, and I leave you with the best to come. And with that, I do have a gift, and if my intern would please distribute those for me to commemorate your service together here with me, I just have a little something for you. I wish you the best outside of this session. And I want to thank again Representative Hunt for being gracious. Sometimes I've done things to him, like put a cowboy hat on him when he didn't see it coming, and I think that one even got photographed, so we have that for posterity. He didn't know that was coming. I just reached under the table and grabbed a hat and put it on his head. If you recall, that's when the brand board was visiting us, and he's always been so gracious to me. And sometimes I'm passing the gavel in the middle of things when I've had to go out and deal with some things. So I thank you for that. Linda Dugard, who has just really brought us to a new efficiency level with her fine work. I couldn't have asked for a better committee secretary. And Ruben, whose brilliance and knowledge and history and guarding the institutional knowledge that we have, is there's hardly words to describe the value that he has had to this committee. And so with that...
Madam Chair, if I could...
Representative Hunt.
Well, Madam Chair, I know that every member of the committee here seconds all of your thoughts that you've expressed here this morning, both as far as the work product of this committee is concerned, as well as our staff. But above all, we want to make sure that we thank you. You have moved, as we would say in Navy parlance, you've moved this ship along in good order, and you have been on top of things. You have really shown the respect of this committee for the people that would come before us. You've made them feel that this is a citizens' legislature, that this is a body that is working for the best interests of the people of the state of South Dakota. I like the way that you do business. You get right to it, and yet everybody is given all proper respect. Everybody's given the opportunity to have their say, whether they're from the audience or they're a member of this committee. And I believe that this is shared by all of the committee members. But you've done an excellent, excellent job, and thank you very much for being our chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Again, really a high point in my professional career.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hoffman.
Madam Chair, there's, I think, great agreement amongst all of us that if you were to ask someone who was your best teacher from your high school, grade school, elementary, they would pick out that toughest teacher because they learned the most from her. And I can tell you this, that of all the time I've spent following politics and going to committee meetings and testifying previous to this, I've learned more from you following the rules, being prudent, being perfect in diction and respect to the chair than I've ever learned before. And I will always remember this committee and you as the person that taught me proper protocol in dealing with a committee in the House of Representatives. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you both, Representative Hoffman and Representative Mosier. And don't forget your good sense of humor. That will take you a long way in the day when things get tight and tense. Representative Hamill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for those of us non-lawyers on this committee, we've had this discussion many times. It's been illuminating. We now know that lawyers are people, too. They have hearts, they have feelings, and this was a revelation to some of us, and we do appreciate the experience. Thank you.
Thank you, I think, Representative Hamill. I also want to take note of Representative Ingalls' service to this committee. I've had the pleasure of working with him all our way through law school. He is term limited out. He's given great service to this committee. Or not term limited out, but it's not running again. He served on the Criminal Code Commission, which was a lot of hours sitting in chairs while we poured through Title 22. He's been a great member of this committee and has added so much, and thank you for your service, too. Thanks, one of the things I think I'm so very proud of you all for is the discipline that you show. It's truly a discipline to come in and work through a calendar and know when there's been enough discussion on an issue so that you've been fair to people, but you need to move on. I just really commend you for the discipline that you show with that. And I also want to leave you with an apology for those of you who had to get up at 6:30. Well, actually, we began one committee hearing at 6:30 in the morning. I'm so sorry about that. I felt guilty about that for a long time. And for someone sitting in the chair's position, I couldn't have asked for a better disciplined committee. You're very intelligent people. You're very experienced people. And I know that you'll keep up the good work. So with that, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Turbeville, seconded by Gosch. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? We are adjourned. You may keep your black binder if you want to. If not, they'll pick them up. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.